My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that wait for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Open thou our lips, O Lord. Almighty God, our Father, we come to thee in this hour because thou art a God of mercy and because thou art plenteous in redemption. Put our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, as we confess the condition of our hearts to thee. Renew this day the vision of the high calling that is ours in Christ Jesus, and teach us afresh what it means to know that we have seen thy glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Give us so to know Christ in his life, that the same mind that was in him may be in us, that we may be in the world as he was in the world. Give us so to know Christ in his death, that we may not glory save in his cross, whereby the world is crucified unto us, and we unto the world. Give us so to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, that like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also may walk in newness of life. This we pray in the name of him who taught his children to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
By his great mercy, he hath borne with you, living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Praise ye the Lord.
Oh,
These are times that try men's souls. Wars without difficult to analyze, and wars within difficult to win. Misunderstanding within the church, and disrupted fellowship with the neighbor. Disillusionment with lofty ideals and despair because of shattered dreams. Futility of preaching and superficiality of living. How sensible in these times to be as little involved in the mess of things as is possible, and as little involved as is possible with a gospel that simply makes no difference. We do hold our peace. Why not? What do we have to say that makes any difference, that makes people want to listen? The simple gospel simply won't do for even simple souls anymore. And so we hold our peace and save ourselves and the world any overdose of embarrassment. Our text for today tells of a time that tried men's souls. Some of God's people were in the stress of hard times, literally starving to death, surrounded by the enemy that simply kept waiting until they were helpless. A small band of lepers lived just outside the city walls. Life was exceptionally hard for them. They were cut off from all sides, and famine was rampant. They faced certain death. What could they do? Well, to tell the truth, they became heroes. Those four lepers set forth the evangelical word of our text. This is a day of good tidings. How in the world did they get the consent of their lips for a testimony like that? First of all, they faced reality. They did not bewail their lot. They did not berate the people who placed them outside the walls. They did not form a committee, a clear indication they were not Baptists by lineage nor professors by vocation. They did not call a prayer meeting, but a brainstorming session. As a matter of fact, they had a little existential group therapy. They arrived at three alternative courses of action, all of which ended with the same possibility, death. They faced reality with all its grim possibilities. When they finished their musings and their conversations, they went out to face the worst the camp of the enemy could offer. This was the first step they took on the road to herohood. They faced reality. Those of us who are the servants of God today, at times, are like those four lepers. We often feel cut off from the sacred precincts of many well-meaning people of small faith, walled in under spiritual attack and slowly starving with little deep spiritual understanding. But this is no time to bewail our lot, nor is it a time to remind God of how sad it is to be his servant. Rather, we will face reality. And there must not be left any unprobed sacred precincts of reality for the perceptive minister of Christ. We will strive to understand our situation both in reference to the walled in city and the world of the Syrians. Those of us who are gathered here today in this theological community are here to face the unmasked visage of reality. Let us employ every gift of learning and examine every point of view in an effort to discern just what truth is.
made free in Christ, we are free to face truth. We have not gathered here to avoid reality, but to prove it. And this, for us as well as for the lepers, may be the beginning of our redemption. We learn also from our lesson that this tiny band found salvation where they feared destruction. They found life where they would not have been surprised to have found death. They went into the camp of the enemy and found that he had fled. What if they had spent their time outstripping one another and painting pictures of the awesome strength of those who would overcome them? What if they had dwelled upon their feeble strength compared with the might of so many? With good reason, they could have slipped back into the city and died slowly with everyone else. But no, they decided to live in the world where the Syrians were. At least, and it was. Death there would come at the end of high adventure. They took a chance on being able to stay alive in a world that was not walled in. And as a result, they found salvation where they feared possible destruction. I am beginning to suspect that there's something parabolic about the construction operations here at the seminary. When I arrived here a little over 2 years ago, there was a large red sign on the campus near an old building, and it read demolition. And now as we begin this fall term, there's another massive sign, and it reads wrecking company. Whenever I hear loose mortar sliding downward, I reckon it to be the release of loose exegesis. And whenever I hear a loud thud, I reckon it to be a sermon severed from a text to which it ought never to have been attached. Perhaps some of us who are gathered here imagine that in this community, there will be destroyed what we hold dear in faith. But as a matter of fact, in God's grace, this is a community of redemption, not destruction. And this ought not to be our fear. It is a big world, this school is, and a little place. There are no walls here to protect our theological inadequacies, or securities, or semi-commitments. There is only a bigger world than many of us have ever lived in before. We can either live in it or die. Don't forget, here is the opportunity for salvation. Accept it, and opportunity will become possession. When I first began teaching 14 years ago, I found in my classes a small group of men who listened very carefully to their teacher's words. And some of them never said anything to expand what I said. They always made statements that contracted it. So fearful were they that they would lose Christ, they were never really willing to find him. Afraid he would become smaller, they never learned how big he really is. There is a big world beyond the walls of this campus. Live in it is committed men. Let us face all that it has to offer in our years here together. And we can find life there, and not death. Not only are the Syrians there, so is God. Last of all, these heroes in our text became heralds of a new world. If they had remained in the shadow of the wall, or if they had retired within the gates of the city, they would never have seen God do some of his work. They suddenly found themselves surrounded with the treasures of a new world. Their first reaction was to revel in what was theirs. But then they had another council, and the upshot of it all was that they decided not to hide it or to preserve it, but to share it. We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. They ran to tell others what they had found. Good news always runs. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the women ran to tell the disciples. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. Four souls had the message to ease anguish of the mind, to plant laughter in the eye, and to renew strength of body and soul. To have been silent would have been to court disaster. It was a story that had to be told. They had to tell of the opportunities. Now there's outside the walls. Come see what God has done. Not inside the walls, but outside them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have good tidings to tell all the world. I bring you tidings of great joy, the angel said to one night to a shepherd band. Luther was right when he said, Christians are a blissful people who can rejoice at heart and sing praises, stamp and dance and leap for joy. This is still our Father's world, and he is at work in Christ. We cannot hold our peace or the stones will cry out. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. All men everywhere need to come to see what God has done and is still doing for all his people. Everywhere there are footnotes in the long documentation of God's deeds in behalf of men. And all of us who share in his work in Christ must share it with others. A character in one of Robert Penn Warren's novels says in beautiful simplicity about Christ, he is hung on my heart like a cowbell, and a cowbell can't keep no secret. The claim upon our devotion is a claim this day pressed upon us. We do not wear. This is a day of good tidings. We must not hold our peace.